and welcome to Locked On Astros, your daily Astros podcast. Here are your hosts, Eric the Man Heisman and Brett H-Town Wheelhouse Chansey.
We are Locked On Houston Astros, and we hope that you join us for a daily Locked On Astros podcast. My name is Eric Heisman. You can find me on Twitter at Eric Talk Stros. You can find the show at Locked On Astros. Brett, where can they find you at?
They can find me at H-Town Wheelhouse on Twitter and at Stros411 on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Always positive, always Stros.
All righty. And we got a special guest, Mr. Clay Hensley, with all three Bucks in the back. How are you doing, Clay?
I'm doing well, man. Pretty good year this year, hunting season. So starting to wind down a little bit.
So where can we find you on Twitter?
I have no idea. No, it's at C Hensley 32, I think. No. And, on Instagram at Clay Hensley. And you can find me at your local hunting ranch near you.
All right. Speaking of hunting, I know eventually we're going to go ahead and go on a hunting trip together, but yeah. You know, what would be great? Belching Beaver beer. Brett, why don't you go and tell us about that?
Well, Belching Beaver Brewery is a brewery that was started in 2012, and they were inspired to have a damn good time doing it. They have craft beers for all palates. They have IPAs, they have stouts, blondes, anything you want, they've got. They've even teamed up with the Deftones to create their own beer. And there's so many things going on with Belching Beaver. They expanded into Texas, or they're going to be expanding into Texas and coming to a large city near you. And so what I want you to do is go to belchingbeaver.com to check them out. If you're in California, check out one of their breweries. You can get takeout. You can even order for beer and food to be delivered to your home. So check out Belching Beaver. They're our offseason acquisition. They were free agents, but we signed them up, and they're now on the same team as Locked On Astros. BelchingBeaver.com, here to have a damn good time.
And if you want to get Locked On the Houston Astros, you can get Locked On Astros on the podcast app Himalaya, as well as Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. When you get in the car, tell your smart device played podcast, Locked On Astros. All right, so the Astros, they went out and made a huge acquisition, and they got Pedro Baez.
Why do you say it like that? That's a bad pitcher.
No, he was a Dodgers pitcher. He was part of the 2017 Dodgers team. So we've got to hate him for that, right? Or no?
No, he's an Astro now. We love the guy. Yep. He no longer dons a Dodger blue.
Okay. He saw the light.
So this is actually a pretty big move. I know he's 32 years old. He's never been looked on as a closer, and neither has Ryan Stanek. And Clay, former reliever. The Astros were after Liam Hendricks. Now they got Stanek and Baez. Does that, if you add the two together, does it equal Hendricks, or are the Astros not really looking at a closer? I know Brett really wants them to kind of get a closer. What's your whole read of this whole thing?
You know, I still don't think that, you know, they're necessarily done looking for a closer. There's always trade options. But look, Baez, he's for the last 7 years with LA, he's put up a pretty solid resume there. And, you know, what the Astros are needing more so than anything is that veteran leadership. I think that's where the Astros bullpen has probably suffered the most. Look, there's a lot of young guys in that bullpen that are going to, you know, figure to play into the plans for Houston for the foreseeable future that are still under team control. So I don't necessarily see that Baez is the closer option, or him or Stanek put together are that option. But what they're needing is some veteran leadership down there. And both those pitchers can cover some innings. Both can close if called upon. But I think that you're looking at more of a consistent back end of the bullpen from those two guys. Consistency is one of the things that has plagued Houston in the back of the bullpen. So I think that's more so what they're trying to cover.
Yeah, you know, I think with the whole Liam Hendricks thing with them, you know, I had another person who's a White Sox guy basically say that they didn't overpay for Liam Hendricks when I said they did. And he's like, well, that's what the market dictated. But I think when you look at the history of signing closers to 50 plus million dollar deals, they don't, the the value of the contract is in maybe year one and two. But after that, there's a huge drop off just because that closer role is so hard. I mean, a relief pitching role, a middle of the rotation role to me seems a little bit more sustainable because of the way, you know, closers, how much pressure they have on them to come in. But what I think they're doing is stacking the deck. I mean, you've got Joe Smith coming back. You've got Paredes. You've got now Janik. You've got Baez now. You've got a healthy back end of the bullpen to where if Presley is the closer, which I'm still not 100% on board with, but you're not going to ask Presley to come in like the Brewers bring in Josh Hader and like throw like two innings of closing relief. You know, putting a closer in too many six out situations doesn't typically bode well statistically. It may look intimidating on paper, but maybe they're stacking the deck. And this is a very Rays-esque move. This is James Click from the Rays. And this is how the Rays were able to stay competitive, is they would find these value arms. The Astros have done that. That's what Astros did that with Morton. Don't forget, Stephen Pruitt's coming back, Eric. And so, Austin Pruitt, not Stephen Pruitt. Sorry, Austin Pruitt's coming back. And they said he should be ready. So I think they're good moves.
So it's not sexy, but it's just a little cute.
It adds depth. It adds depth is what it adds. And that's a major need for any bullpen, but more so for a bullpen that has an offense, you know, like Houston does, which Houston, that I think more so what they're trying to probably do at this point is to, before they go out and spend the dollars for maybe a lockdown back end closer, if there's going to be one available by the time they're ready, they're still trying to see what they're going to do with Brantley. Look, you know, you never know what else can happen between here and now. I mean, Brantley's one of the guys they're still trying to lock up. He hasn't signed anywhere. And, you know, I think that they're trying to figure out what they're going to do and utilize some trades and try to save some of that payroll. So it's interesting to see what's going to happen here in the next couple of weeks.
Well, if you look at what they signed a Baez for, and this is from Jesse Sanchez, they said that he will earn $4.5 million in 2021, $6.5 million in 2022. And there's some escalators that could earn him an extra $6.5 million. And there's a $7.5 million club option for the 2023 season. And he got a $500,000 signing bonus. So this is a pretty big deal for a 32-year-old guy who's never really been a closer. He's a guy that has the stuff, but the Dodgers never really trusted him enough to be the actual closer. I mean, granted, I know they had a actual closer, but what do you think that his mindset is, Clay, coming to Houston?
He's got 10 million reasons to be happy, that's for sure. You know, look, I don't think he's being signed as the closer. You know, so I think that he's going to probably have every shot of keeping that maybe under his belt, or be that, you know, his role for 21. But look, it's a good deal for him. You know, 2 years, $10 million with a $500,000 signing bonus. He's got a $7.5 million option, like you said, for 23, and includes a $2 million buyout with escalators based on innings pitched, which is all you can ask for as a reliever when you're talking about incentives. So it's upon him to go out there and increase that salary by throwing up good numbers and throwing up innings. And you're only going to get innings by throwing up good numbers. Look, for seven seasons with the Los Angeles Dodgers, a team that's been in contention year in and year out, and the expectations that they've had to win on that side, you know, having always been so close to making it. And LA can be a brutal, brutal town when you're not winning there. So he's played under pressure, and, you know, posting just above a 3 ERA in 7 years in LA, I think is legit. I think it's going to be something that's going to be of benefit. I don't think it's a bad signing at all. It just adds more depth with some veteran leadership.
So what it sounds like is that you're betting on the Astros made the right move here, and you're betting also maybe that they're not done with possibly going out and get another reliever. But guys, if you want to go out there and bet, why don't you go to betonline.ag? Football season is here. I know the regular season is done in football, but the playoffs are starting. Like, I went to the main campus today at Adobe, and everybody's like passing around these, hey, you want to put $5 down for who's going to make the playoffs and who's going to win the thing? This is a big deal. So do you want to be in a know? Do you want to be one of those people that has the inside edge? Why don't you go out and actually go to the people that Brett and I go to? Don't sit on sidelines anymore. Get into the action. Don't forget to use that promo code Locked On to receive 50% welcome bonus with your first order deposit. BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook expert, if I could talk straight, and they could probably predict what the how many Astros wins they're going to have. Are they going to win the World Series? And is Alex Bregman going to be the MVP? Or is Carlos Correa going to be MVP? You can go get all that information at betonline.ag, and let's go Astros. Brett?
So,
go ahead. Yes, how about the Rock Auto?
Oh, Rock Auto. Well, I was not ready for Rock Auto, man. God damn it.
Right. If you're somebody out there that's looking for car parts, you want Rock Auto, right?
Yes, that's right. And I really hope he edits that out, because he does. I'm gonna punch him in the throat.
You shouldn't edit.
So I'll say this. Football teams are trying to get to the thing. I love that. Tomorrow morning. Hey, I'm gonna do this Rock Auto read, and at the end, I'm gonna tell the people to look at our Twitter feed, because there's gonna be predictions for numbers on Astros winning the division. Okay. All right. So here we go. After the big thing. Doing the thing.
Oh, anyways, work it.
All right.
How about Rock Auto?
Okay. All right.
Squirrel, sorry.
Rock Hard Auto. I'm joking. All right, here we go. This is your marker. 3, 2, 1. With the ever increasing numbers of makes and models, it is now impossible to stock all the parts that you need in these small storefronts. I mean, who wants to go to the store and have to wear a mask just to buy a muffler, right? So go to rockauto.com, type in muffler on rockauto.com, or if you need a Delphi FG 1456 fuel pump assembly for a 2005 to 2010 Honda Odyssey, and you got the mom band and you're rocking that, you know what? You're going to pay $354 at an advanced auto part type store, hint, hint, wink, wink. But if you go to rockauto.com, you'll only pay $216.79. That's right. Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics, and you, just like me, average everyday Joes, not rockauto.com. They're family owned. They've been serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. So go to rockauto.com, check out their unique catalog. It's easy to navigate. It's quickly, you can find parts quickly. So here's the deal. Go to rockauto.com, and when you find the part you need for your car or truck, write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box, so they know that we sent you amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com.
All right, Clay, before we move on to the next topic, I wanted to kind of, I know you've pitched around closers before. Ryan Pressly, is he a closer type of mentality from what you've seen? Or do you think the Astros really need to upgrade? I know that's something that Brett thinks the Astros need to do, but do you think Ryan Pressly has the stuff?
I think that I don't think that he's seasoned enough to, you know, can be considered for lockdown closing situation. I think that the Astros for many years actually have needed to go get and spend the money on somebody that was a sure bet. Exactly. So I think that, he's got the stuff. I don't know if the mentality or the makeup is quite there. I'm not saying that it can't be. I think it comes with a little bit more maturing at the big league level and in pressure situations. But I think what he needs in order for the long-term play for him is to have a veteran lockdown closer pitch in front of him on the same team that he potentially may set up for at least half a year or a year, sign a guy to a 1 or 2 year contract. Let's see how he blossoms if he does. And, you know, kind of assess it at that point. But right now, I don't think that he's quite there yet. And I'm not saying that he can't, but just right now, it doesn't seem like he's quite seasoned enough to be that guy.
Yeah, I think, like we've kind of mentioned before, that he would step up and take the role. He is, to me, has a lot of really good leadership qualities on the mound. and he was asked to be the closer pretty much this last year. And I never felt like that role fit him. And I feel like in, you know, relief pitching, of course, I'm speaking from an outside perspective, never having done it at the high level that you have, but you can see like closers have a different makeup about them. Middle relief guys, you know, I mean, it just seems like everybody has their niche and their role because that's the way the game's designed. Now, Eric, I have a question. There's someone that we have kind of mentioned here in our notes, and I want to ask Clay this. There's closers out there like Ken Rosenthal. There's Brad Hand that's still kind of like, I'm surprised he hasn't signed with anybody. And then you have Joaquin Soria, who is 36 years old, and he's drawn a lot of interest from pretty much every team in the West. This last year here, he appeared in 22 games with Oakland. I mean, and he had his best ERA plus in a season since 2015. How would you feel as a coaching staff, as a pitching coach, bringing in a more seasoned veteran closer at 36 when you have a strong back end and lead up to that closing role? Does that take pressure off, or does it all depend on that specific person?
Well, I think it's almost exactly, I don't know if you were posing this to Eric or not, but I think it's almost exactly what I just said. You know, even if it was signing a guy to a 1-year deal, even though he's 36, doesn't, you know, he's still got some gas in the tank, and it might be just enough gas to get, you know, exactly what we need for what Houston needs in the bullpen is that leadership from the back end. You know, watch a guy like Soria go out there and pitch for a year, sign him to a 1-year deal with a possible extension, you know, not hang yourself out to dry for too long. And then hopefully that's enough time for the younger guys to step up and, you know, Presley and whatnot to kind of take over at that point. You know, you are right in the sense that some guys have the makeup for certain roles in the bullpen. But, you know, look, I closed a little bit in my career as well. The transition for me wasn't that difficult because I was a starter. And the pressures that come along with starting the game are somewhat similar to, I guess, the pressures of not blowing a game in the ninth. But that being said, I found it much easier in the sense that you didn't have to set up a lineup, you know, to see you guys two or three times. You just had to, you could unload the clip on three hitters potentially. So, you know, there is some pressure, I think, that comes along with it. I think that some of the guys that maybe didn't have starting experience prior to closing, maybe blow it a little bit more out of proportion than what it really is. But, you know, either way, I think all throughout the bullpen and, you know, how the game is managed and when guys come in to pitch, I think all the guys equally feel the pressure of not blowing it, especially when there's a lead and you got hold situations in play as well as save situations. So, you know, I wouldn't see it necessarily as a bad idea with a Soria type guy, you know, even at his age for coming in for 1 year, you're not going to have to be handcuffed on him too long. But I still think, you know, for me personally, my opinion is that they're still trying to see what they're going to do with their lineup, because I think the needs of a center fielder and a potential leadoff hitter for Houston is a little bit more paramount as opposed to getting that lockdown guy at this point, because that's something that can always trade for and could still well be available towards the end of all this offseason move stuff, because guys may have been demanding too much and their market starts to dip and they kind of jump on them at the last minute.
So, yeah, Clay, I think you just stepped all over my shoes there. I mean, I've been cleaning desks all year with the disinfectant, and I've been kind of balling up in a ball, and I've been working on my slider. So I think
how's that coming?
Stalking me.
How's that coming?
I thought you were.
It's actually pretty good. Like people actually come into my class to watch me do it. I do it every, so filthy, every though, class,
but it's filthy.
Yeah.
It's filthy.
I thought you were doing another lead in for a commercial for some cleaning supplies. I was like, wait, where's this commercial coming
He's
in?
Talking
at?
About his dirty slider.
Yeah. But I think the Astros at this point, I do agree with you, Clay. I think that they're like, well we could have gone out and spent $18 million on Liam Hendricks, but I think they need an outfielder more. And no offense to Miles Straw or anybody else, they need somebody out there who can go out there and give them consistent at-bats and not just have a little bit of speed when they get on base. They need somebody to get on base a lot. And that's what Michael Brantley could do. So I'm not saying I don't want them to go out and get another closer. I think that they do need a closer. But what they're doing right now is they're doing it, like I think Brett said earlier, they're doing it the Rays way. They're kind of doing it at Jeff Luna's way. Don't go out and get the most expensive guy. Go out and get a whole bunch of guys who could equal that expensive guy. And then you have more players on the team. So
because here's the thing, Eric, they will have 28 million cap space. Their 40 man roster is full. They will either have to trade, when we talked about Benintendi, they will have to DFA or release someone to free up space. So right now the roster is full. So the tank is full. So if you sign Brantley, you have to let someone go. It could be a minor league guy on the roster. Right. True. Now, do you take a flyer on a Benintendi if you can wrangle him and pay him $5 million instead of paying $16 to Brantley, hoping that a 26-year-old Benintendi comes around to his number one draft pick status and top prospect status in 2017? I know you don't replace Brantley.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, Clay, I mentioned this on podcast, and I got a lot of crap from it from Brett yesterday. Well, what if you have to give up a Christian Javier for Andrew Benintendi? Would you do that?
I think those guys are not going anywhere. Personally, there's still, they have a chance to probably trade three others that could probably be ready for them in the near future, in 22 and 23. I think the ones you mentioned are going to be untouchable for now.
But that's what the Red Sox would be asking for. They're not going to be like, oh yeah, we'll take a triple a double A guy or a single A guy. They want somebody who's close because they're not. For some reason, they're not giving up on the 2021 season. They want to trade players, but they also want to bring players back to win. And that's a Christian Javier type of player.
Right. Right. No, right. No, you're right on that.
No. Yeah. But I don't see the Astros. I mean, if the rumors are true about Mickey Maiock being in a possible trade for Benintendi with the Phillies and Dombrowski wanting to bring Benintendi over there to play for him in Philadelphia, I could see that there are guys, Miles Straw, Tyler Ivey, Blake Taylor, the outfielder, Eric, help me, outfielder, big, tall, 6'4".
That's every outfielder out there.
White dude, 6'4", white dude.
Okay, I got it.
You know what I'm talking about?
Every Astros.
You're talking about basketball, I think, now.
Wait, is this guy we got for James Harden?
No, shut up. No. I wanted to trade James Harden for an NHL franchise.
I can actually watch the Rockets play basketball now. I mean, it's just
I can watch James Harden play baseball too.
I could not watch him play the dribble and create the foul. I could not watch that. I stopped watching 2 years ago.
Yeah, squirrel. Hey, remember that review that said I'm all over the place?
Yeah, right. We just went into the Astros. We went into the Rockets playing outfield for the Houston Astros.
Well, you know what? Sean Watson. You want to think about Sean Watson and Jack Easterby?
I think JJ Watson would be perfect behind the dish.
He could be a catcher.
Yeah, but he's got to make sure he's got to clear the lane if they're sliding at home, right?
So we haven't addressed the backup catcher. We haven't, and we're probably not gonna be able to get to it today. We haven't addressed, really who we could go out and get in the outfield besides Brantley. But here's the thing, Eric, and I'll just give this as my final thought for the show. I trust James Click that he's gonna do the right thing. I mean, these guys know a lot more than we do. I'm never gonna be a fan or an analyst or a broadcaster or a podcaster who thinks that they've got it all figured out. I'm going to put my trust in the guys that get paid the big bucks to do it. And I think the Astros, I mean, we got Yordan from the Dodgers. We got this Baez kid from the Dodgers. Who says we don't go out and beat the Dodgers in the World Series with two guys that we took from them,
Yeah. That's a whole game. So Clay, what about some high school baseball? Do you want to talk about something about that or?
Well, actually, we were talking about that. One of the segments we were wanting to jump on at one point was, what goes on at the high school level in all sports, baseball, golf, tennis, whatnot. And you know, I've started to see recently, most recently because it was a nephew of mine, but where, you know, the potential careers of kids gets affected by the agenda of maybe a coach that has a problem with them, even though if they're one of the best players. You know, I was plagued with that a little bit at Pearland High School under Coach Allen. And, you know, I had to hit my way back onto the team, which he, you know, he didn't have me play for my entire junior year for some unknown reason. But, you know, it recently happened to a nephew of mine in Friendswood, who's the number two golfer there, who's a senior, and was accused of cheating by his coach there. And, you know, as you kind of hear about the whole story, the way things went down, you know, it kind of begs the question of what is it we're doing at the high school level? Are we trying to help out kids? Or are we trying to boot them off and ruin their careers? So, you know, I just, you know, it's one of those things that I think we need to talk about one evening.
No, yeah, definitely. And I think the development of young athletes is, should always be at the forefront. You know, just like anything else, politics gets in the way. I could probably tell you multiple stories of, you know, about where I grew up. And, you know, for the most part, it was a good experience, but there were small town politics. I mean, I'm from Crosby High School. And if I could throw this out there, I want to send a shout out to my Crosby Cougars for making it to the state championship for the first time since 1961. My son and I are going to go.
You were one, you know, at that time, right?
I was not one. No, I'm not that old jerk. No, joking.
You were a senior that year?
Yes, I was in fifth grade. It was the best 3 years of my life. My son and I are going to go up there and watch the Cougars play. They play against Aledo. We're going to be all gas, no brakes, just like the Cougars getting up there. But yeah, you know, Clay, it is important that coaches realize their impact on young athletes. I know that I've only coached as high as seventh grade level in volleyball and basketball, but my goal was always development. You know, and I can look back on my teams and see that the two major high schools in our district where I teach, I've got at least one player on all three levels of the girls basketball program. And because I was always concerned with their development first, not playing time, right, not even like winning or losing, but getting them better. And when a coach loses sight of that, it doesn't hurt the coach, it hurts the player.
Well, you know, in this particular incident with Vincent Leggio over at Friendswood, you know, he's a senior this year, probably the number two player on the golf team, and was accused by one of the coaches of cheating on a par three from riding down a triple bogey as opposed to a double bogey. It made no sense. There was no gain there. And instead of using that opportunity to let him know or inform him that he may have had the wrong score, which he stands by that he did not, which I do believe, because there's no gain to win on the tournament by doing that from a triple to a double or double to triple on a par three. Instead of pulling him aside and teaching him that, you know, hey, you might have this wrong, or helping him out throughout the process, which that's kind of the goal of the team and the coach, he chose not to, and allowed him to finish out the remainder of the tournament, which that infraction supposedly happened on hole number 8. So to let a coach, to have a coach knowingly feel that one of his players may have wrote down the wrong number, instead of informing him and helping out the entire team, he chose to let him finish, and then chose to kick him off the team for that infraction, which in my mind is ludicrous. The kid's a senior, he's got a chance to potentially play college. Now that he's not on the team, the stress of potential scholarships are weighing on the family. And this is kind of stuff that I see time in and time out with coaches having an agenda of their own, as opposed to doing what's right for the kid and the team. So, you know, I really hope that the school district of Friendswood takes a look at this because, look, the kid is a senior. He doesn't have another chance. You're potentially ruining a kid's career in college. And, you know, who knows after that? You know, I wasn't pitching mid-90s till I was 21. And so you never know what a kid's going to do as they develop. And being the number two player on the team, really good kid, not a cheater, to be kicked off for this and not for something that you would think would be a serious infraction. This was a mistake. And it was a mistake in my mind, but maybe potentially the player writing down the wrong score, but more of a mistake of the school allowing a coach to allow its players to make mistakes and using that infraction as a reason to kick them off a team.
That sounds like something that happened in 2020. And luckily, 2020 is mercifully over. It's a time for a fresh start and a few more wins. If you're betting this year and want to make you want a few more wins, listen to Locked On Bets with your boy Q and Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports. They're picking college basketball, football, and NBA locks all winter long. Subscribe to Locked On Bets whenever you get the podcast. And Clay, once again, thank you for coming on. Brett, you're always awesome. And we'll be back sometime either this week if there's some news, or next week on the Locked On Astros podcast. Have a good day and go Astros.